Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Tim, get the president's office on the phone, would you please? I'd like a copy of that. 6:15, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking about the president's State of the Union address last night. Andy Smith, director of the University of New Hampshire Survey Center, joins us. The Granite State, is it not, New Hampshire?
It is the Granite State, yeah.
Well, we would never take you for granted. Oh, my pithy comment
early,
to
please.
Start the morning. Somebody texted in here, and I'd like to acknowledge this text. Biden spoke for an hour and 15 minutes. He lied for an hour and 14 minutes. Marjorie Taylor Greene called him a liar loud and clear. Go, girl. Well, thanks for that, unbiased text. I appreciate that. I know where you stand. The fact of the matter is they all lie all of the time. And what bugs me so much, and people that accuse me of being a liberal or a Democrat, is a liberal or a conservative, because I'm kind of right in the middle, because I realize they both lie. Everybody's lying. They're constantly lying to get reelected. But yet it seems as though they use the big partisan divide, culture wars, whatever you want to call it, to stop us from thinking about that and to get us to go after each other, right?
That's a pretty good description, I think, of modern politics. I think they've done a good job, both parties, of understanding what it is that their constituents want to hear, and then they tell them.
The rancor, Marjorie Taylor Greene, again, I didn't see it. I was down with a migraine, but yelling, "You lie," or something along those lines. Is that the new normal for State of the Unions? Were they more raucous in the old days, then they settled down for television, now they're getting more raucous? Is it all a made-for-television event, a show business event?
Yeah, it's certainly become that. I mean, it's something that's required in the Constitution, but it doesn't say that they have to give an address. It basically says that the president should inform the Congress from time to time the State of the Union. But it's become a political opportunity, and since it's been on television, it's really become a political opportunity. But there has been decorum in the past where people are, you know, polite. They might disagree. They have an opportunity afterward to disagree. But this essentially live tweeting while you're in watching the State of the Union, I think, is something that's more because of modern technology and the way the campaigns are, and frankly, the way the people who get elected to Congress are. We have got to the point where we no longer elect, a lot of the people that we elect are not career politicians. They are there to make a splash, and regardless of getting anything done or not.
But yet they still run for re-election.
Of course, it's good. It's a good gig.
Yeah, it is a good gig. It's a really good gig, as a matter of fact. Did the president accomplish anything? Let's look at the politics of it, because it is theater. Did he accomplish anything politically last night in terms of boosting his chances to get reelected?
Well, we've talked about this being kabuki theater. I want to evaluate his speech based on that, the theater part. And I think he actually did a pretty good job, and I think Republicans helped him do a good job. So he highlighted his accomplishments of his first couple of years, mainly the legislative accomplishments there. He kind of let out the goals for his this coming year and his reelection, and as he kept saying, let's finish the job. I think that's one of the things, and that's going to be his election theme. And then about the election itself, he did do some things to kind of sops to the more progressive wing of the Democratic Party by calling for billionaires' taxes, tax the rich, get rid of tax breaks for corporations, go after big tech and so forth. So he said some things there for the progressive part of the wing of the party, but attacking the Republicans as well, especially the Social Security attack. So he is lining himself up for election, but he has to do both things, secure support within his own party because it's kind of meager right now among voters, but then to kind of build the image that he's going to attack when he runs against whoever the Republican nominee is.
Does the State of the Union generally get people open their checkbooks or not?
Not too much. It's a little bit too far away. Mm-hmm. I think this is more inside baseball. It's more for the people that were in the room, really. Mm-hmm. And I think going forward, that's the case. Now, it is interesting to me that Biden, I think, has strategically did something important here, and that's that he's trying to go back to his image of being a more conservative, more blue-collar Democrat. And he gave really what was kind of a populist speech. And Republicans often get accused of being more popular, the more populist party. But I think Biden really was trying to highlight his populist roots and talking about the little guy, talking about people at home. You know, attacking the rich is always a good thing for people that don't have money. But I think that was the strategy that he's lining up going ahead for the 2024 election, because Democrats really have lost most of the blue collar, at least the blue collar white vote in America. And that's still a big chunk of voters to lose.
Andy, that jumped off the pages to me this morning when I read it, was populist, especially with the use of the word folks over and over and over again. 6:21, more when we come back, talking to Andy Smith, director of the University of New Hampshire Survey Center, recapping the State of the Union. We'll have Garrett Graves on at 6:45 to give his reaction to it. Right now, it's time for traffic on WWL. 6:26, Tommy Tucker, WWL, 40% chance for showers. That's late this evening, though. Highs of 80, a bit cooler tomorrow, highs of 66. And then we get to parade weekend, right? First weekend of Carnival, a 40% chance for showers early on, but then it clears out for parade time. Highs of 59, cloudy and cold Saturday, highs of 48, so you'll have to bundle up. Then sunny and chilly, highs of 56 on Sunday, but thankfully for parade time as it stands now, mostly dry. Andy Smith, our guest, director of the University of New Hampshire Survey Center, recapping the State of the Union address last night, pretty much from the, I guess, the political part of it, Andy. And, you know, I'm looking at fact-checking here, and it doesn't matter whether it's Donald Trump, Joe Biden, Barack Obama, George Bush. They cherry-pick what it is they want to say. So on one hand, you can say they're telling the truth, but on the other hand, they're really not. So that's what makes it so hard to find when you decide, trying to decide if what they say is true or not.
It absolutely is the case, and I think that's why a lot of lawyers like to go to Washington, because they certainly know how to manipulate the language so as to get an impression across that says one thing, while at the same time the facts might say the other, but you're able to claim both sides, that you're for and against everything at all the time.
He said he decreased the deficit. Is that true?
The year-on-year deficit.
Right, right, right.
Now,
not the debt. Right.
Right, and the deficit is still quite high. That was one thing that kind of stuck out to me. He was talking about decreasing the deficit, but at the same time talked about all of the different programs that were just going into just being spent on this year. So in terms of some of the Medicare payments for drugs and so forth. So it may have been a one-time decline, but it isn't like we have had a president in decades that's actually decreased the debt. So we're still going deeper into the hole. We're just not maybe digging as fast as we were before.
And for people that don't understand, deficit is year-to-year. Debt is, I don't even know how many trillions it is now. I'd have to call up the clock to look at it. He tried to lay it on Trump, saying that 25% of the entire national debt was added under Trump. But again, that's stretching the truth, because that was bipartisan spending that was a result of COVID, right?
Exactly. And, you know, this is what people in politics do, and mainly that they are able to do it because we all have bad memories, and if we do have memories, we have selective memories as voters, so we only hear the things that we want to hear, and we ignore the things that we don't like.
So when it comes to this Congress, anything that he said last night, is anything that he said last night going to affect what happens in this Congress?
Probably not. I can't imagine that there was anything that's going to be done. I think, if anything, he may have hardened some of the lines there with some of the Republicans, the Republicans that didn't like McCarthy, and it's going to make his job harder getting people lined up, because basically they were the ones that were taunting and heckling from the cheap seats up there in the Congress. It's going to be harder for McCarthy to get those people to do anything that has to be done, frankly, the basics of governance. It's going to be harder to get those people to agree with anything that Biden proposes.
Do you think they get the debt ceiling done, or does the government shut down and the federal workers get an unpaid vacation, not unpaid, another extra vacation, paid vacation?
Well, let's just say that I think the people in D.C. are hoping that they keep...
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.